You hear me talk a lot about love from this pulpit, and you're going to get more today. But I'm also going to talk about humility, because I think even though it's not as obvious or apparent in the readings, I think it gets to the heart of a lot of today's scriptures and what we heard and what I want to talk about and discuss this morning. I think it's interesting the way these scriptures are linked together in our lectionary today. This initial scripture from the Hebrew scriptures that talks about the way in which the Jewish people, the people of Israel, are supposed to kind of handle how they live, how they engage their neighbors, and how they harvest their land. And it might not be immediately clear, but what some of those rules are about leaving some of their harvest in the field, so that those who are poor, those who are the alien, those who are not a part of their people, will have a way to eat. That they can go in and then take from the gleanings, is the term, and be able to eat, be able to feed themselves. It's not lavish by any stretch of the imagination, but it's a way for the people of Israel to provide for those who are in need. And from there, we move into the epistle that talks about this foundation that is laid for us in the person of Jesus, this foundation that we build on as the church, as we become and live into being the people of God in God's kingdom. And then this gospel, which is kind of a continuation of the Sermon on the Mount that we heard last week, where we hear this very famous passage about when someone strikes you on the cheek, turn to them the other also, as well as giving of people who require things of you, and loving your enemy in addition to just loving your family and friends. I think all of these passages and what gets at the heart of it, this idea of love and humility, I think are some of the most important messages, at least I know I need to hear, and I think in large ways our culture here in the States needs to hear at this time in our history. If you've been here the last few months, you've heard me, you've probably picked up on a lot of the anxiety and a lot of the difficulty I have had kind of navigating how hostile the political climate of our country, of our families and friends have gotten. I don't think it's getting any better. I mean, I listened on the way into church this morning on the radio, them talking about a lot of the town halls that Congress people are having, and now that they're back on recess for the week, and just all the shouting and the fighting and the kind of mob rule that seems to be common at a lot of them. I find myself in this strange place where I keep trying to find ways to see how the people that I disagree with and the people that I can't even understand politically are still God's children and are still worthy of love and are still loved by God and therefore someone who I am called to love as well. And not just to kind of act nicely to, but to actually learn how to see them as someone worthy of being loved. And that, just saying that out loud sounds absurd. Like how, that should just be obvious, right? That everyone is worthy of love and that we should look at the other and try to see ways in which they are lovely. I have been very bad at that the last few months in many ways, especially when I'm watching TV or watching the news. There's this, one of the questions, for the final question in our baptismal covenant that we'll join in today as part of the baptism, is this call to treat everyone, to see everyone as a child of God, to know the people are worthy of love, respect, and dignity. And I love that about our church because I think it's something it's so easy to forget. Even though our entire church is based and founded in love, it's so easy to split up, to have our sides, and to create our little worlds, to gather around people that are like us, and to shun or to try to pretend like people who are not like us either don't exist or are wrong or are maybe even bad people. And then we can write them off. Why would I need to listen to someone who obviously is so wrong? And I see this everywhere. I see it in my own heart. I see it in our culture. I see it all over the place. And I just know that is not what I am called into. And that has kind of been my struggle. And it's always going to be my struggle, our struggle. The kind of quintessential peace that we have to wrestle with in life is living with other people. People who do things differently than us. People that see the world differently than us. People that see God differently than us. Some of the ugliest fighting I've seen has nothing to do with politics. It has to do with the way people fight in church, when we convince ourselves we have the right way and that everyone else needs to see it our way. It's tragic and it's awful. And I beg of us that we can hear the call of God, listen to the Spirit at work in the midst of us that can call us to transcend that kind of argument, that kind of fight, that kind of schism, as it was mentioned in our opening hymn today. And here's where I want to talk about the epistle reading, this idea of a foundation. Because something that stood out to me is that we have this imagery throughout the Bible of God in Christ laying a foundation for the church to be built upon, right? And the church is not, just as for clarification, the church is not this building. You know, the church isn't even St. David's. The church is the people of God, universal. So the Christians that we agree with and worship with, and the Christians that we don't agree with and don't worship with. It includes the Christians who have left us and whom we have left. Everyone who calls on the name of God, everyone who looks to Christ as Messiah, everyone who calls themselves a Christian, a follower of the way, whether I agree with them or not, is a part of this kingdom, is a part of this world, and it is my job to hear and listen and to try to understand. And the trouble that I found and that I see a lot is that we are called, especially in this passage, to be building on what others have left before us, right? So Christ has built the foundation, and the church has been building on this foundation since its inception. And my fear is that too often, instead of building, listening to, seeing what others have built before us, taking that tradition, taking that history, taking that experience, and building on it so that we can expand and beautify this thing that is called the kingdom of God or the church of God, too often we look at it and think, oh, they did it all wrong. Why don't we take it all down and start over? Because then we can do it the right way. And what happens is we just have this stunted church that just keeps restarting every so many decades or every so many centuries. We have a new Reformation. We have a new Reconstruction. We have a new, you know, revolt or split or schism. And we've got 40,000 denominations, Christian denominations in our world, in our country, I'm pretty sure. And yet at the heart of everything, God is calling us into unity. And I think this is where the humility comes in, is that the laws and the way that we live as Christians and all the theology and the stuff that we fight over in the church, I think it flows out of the love that God places in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Through our baptism, through our being a part of the kingdom of God, the love that God instills in us, the love that God teaches us about day in and day out, from that, our understanding of the law and of the way to live comes. And too often, I think we put the cart before the horse, and we think, oh, these are all the right ways to live, and if I do all these things the right way, then I'll have love, or I'll understand what love looks like. And I have never found that to work in my own life. Maybe you have. But I'm just finding time and time again that what really is transformative in my experience, what really calls me into life, is when I stop worrying as much about all the stuff I'm supposed to do and if I'm doing it the right way, and start to listen to what God is doing and how God is moving in my heart, and to follow that. And I think I run to the law. I run to all the rules and regulations that I have in my head because in some way they feel safer, right? Because they feel doable. You know, if I can just do these things, I'll be good. And the problem is the things that I think I can do are too small. They're too small for God, and they're too small for what God has in store for me. And they're too small for what God has in store for you. Because I truly believe that God has and wants to give the world to us. There is so much that God has in store for you and for me in this world. And I know for my part, I'm so busy often fighting him because I know how to do it better. And now I don't say that out loud in my head, but I believe it in my heart. And if God would just let up and let me do things the way I know how to do them, everything would be fine. And it never works out that way. It's in giving up. It's in laying down. It's in taking up my cross that I find new life. It's what our baptisms today are about. It's about our commemoration, our honoring, and our professing of the reality that we are people who live under the majesty and the glory and the rule of our God. We are going to fight and disagree with how we understand and see God all the time. We're never going to see it exactly the same way. We're never going to understand our theology, our church, or the way this world works in exactly the same way. It's why we need to be in dialogue with one another. It's why we need to talk about this stuff. It's why we need to wrestle and think about it. It's why we need 2,000 and 6,000 years of history in our church to inform us and to teach us to learn from all of the rich history that we have been handed and given. When we gather for communion at this table, when we receive the bread and the wine, we're not just celebrating communion with the people in this room, we're celebrating communion with all of the Christians around the world who received this morning, this day. We're receiving with all of those who have received throughout the history of our church and all who are yet to come. The reality of our communion binds us together in a timeless way with the entirety of the church. And the work that we do, the work that we do here, the work that we do at this table, the gift that we receive here, is about uniting us as the church of God. And what all of this other stuff is about uniting us to one another, to being the people of God. This idea of turning the other cheek, this idea of loving our enemy as ourselves, all of this idea of giving our cloak when someone asks for our coat or sues us for our coat, of giving to all who ask and of lending to everyone who asks to borrow. Just think of that one. Everyone who asks to borrow from you, give. I mean, like, you want to talk about laws that none of us are going to live up to. That's one. All of this is, it's about not being violent. And you can look to the scripture and see God doesn't like violence. But I think at the heart of this is not really about violence, it's about the way in which we perceive and see the other. It's the way in which we see and perceive the people that are, we believe and see as opposed to us. Our world does not emulate, I'm sorry, our world does not project an image of loving our enemies, at least anywhere I've seen. It's one of the things that makes us so unique. It's why what we do in this place is so important. Because the trouble with enemies is that they hurt us and we hurt them. And that cycle continues until one party or the other says, enough. I'm not willing to continue to hurt in retribution, in revenge, in retaliation. Is willing to take the offense that is visited upon them to forgive and to say enough. It is only in that moment that we find peace. It is only in that moment that we find the hope of a future where we are together and not divided apart. It takes a lot of work, it takes a lot of pain, and it takes a lot of self-sacrifice. And not victimization, but self-sacrifice. That is what we're called into. That is who we are. When people ask us, what is a Christian? We can give them a whole lot of, we can give them the creed. We can talk about our baptismal covenant. That is what makes us Christians in our kind of theological sense. But what makes us Christians is that we care and love ourselves because God loved us first. And out of our response to that love, we love God and we love the world. The scriptures say God is love. We can try to describe that and talk about that all we want, but the reality is it's in the living into love. It is the living into relationship with one another that we see most clearly the picture of who God is, both in our lives and in the lives of those around us and in this world. And so my hope is that these baptisms today remind us of that love and of our call to live and to serve, to hear and to respond to the word and the law of God that calls us into new life, that calls us into love, and that calls us into reconciliation. That maybe, just maybe, we will find the strength that God has given us to turn the other cheek, to love and to pray for our enemies. That when I'm tempted to leave a nasty comment on Facebook, to hold back and to maybe share something constructive or encouraging, or maybe just not say anything at all at first. That whatever your piece of that is, whatever way in which you struggle or we struggle to hear, to listen, and to care for the other, the ways in which we just know we're so much more right than the person we're talking to or the person that is next to us, that we just might remember that they are the beloved of God, that God loves them just as much as God loves us, just as much as God loves these children. And just maybe in that we can find that piece of us that was created to love them back. Not even back, to love them. They might not love us. Don't pretend that loving your enemies is going to make them love you. I don't mean to communicate that. But on our piece, for what we are able to do, to stand on our side and to say, I am going to do everything I can to see you, to listen to you, and even when I disagree with you, to love you and to show you the dignity and respect that you deserve. Because I am convinced that has the power to change this world. And nothing else I have seen evidenced in our society seems to have that power. And so if we're ready to give up on all the vitriol, I'm hoping we can maybe give love a try. And I hope that we can be at the forefront of that as the people of God and as God's children. Amen.